This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and the upcoming schedule. Now here's Paul Jay, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning. It's a Monday on a Tuesday, Bronco Monday on a Tuesday, and heating up now as we have jumped off in basketball. And already two conference games down and a ton to go.
18 conference games, but only two teams, Paul J., are 2-0 at this stage. I think it's the fewest number of unbeaten through two turns of the Mountain West schedule. Boise State and New Mexico are the only teams that are undefeated through two. New Mexico had a big win on Sunday against San Diego State on the road. They were down 11. And, of course, Boise State had an awful first half, 32-25 down to Colorado State, came back out, scored them by eight, and had a game-winning, exciting shot from a little bit right of the top of the key for Chandler Hutchison to pull one out. Last-second shot this year, they counted the shot against Colorado State. Last year, they should have counted it, but they did not.
And watching the replays on the big board, the ball was well away, and he shot it so high that, time expired, and then it was like one, two, boom, swoosh. I mean, the ball was so – it was awesome.
Yeah, and Boise State, one, did not do much in the first half. They were 1-for-13 from three-point range. They did not shoot well for the game from the foul line, although at the end of the game they made their free throws when it was key. But here's why they won. 32-16 over Colorado State in the paint,
yep,
and 20-6 off of turnovers. And the turnovers were even at 11, but Boise State cashed theirs in. I think there was three possessions in a row where the Broncos had the ball. Looking to tie the game, they were down three. They turned it over, but at each other time, Colorado State either turned it over or missed a shot and couldn't stretch the lead. So this is a team that I think has good chemistry, Paul Jay. They've come a lot further to this part of the season than I ever thought they would. Chandler Hutchison is playing at an all-conference level. He has a number of 20 and 10-point performances. Five of them on the season. Paris Austin's developing into a point guard, and a lot of other guys are playing their roles.
Yeah, playing them pretty well. And earlier in the week, the Broncos win their third in a row at Utah State. And as a guy who broadcast, I don't know how many in a row they lost down there.
Oh,
but
yeah, tons.
I know they lost 18, but I think I did.
Well, I was going to say, I think I had four or five,
yeah,
and you
so
probably
I
had about 13 of them.
12 or 13 consecutive. We never won down there
now,
when I was doing
now,
that
but
game.
The thing about this year, going back to that game, Paul J., the last couple of years, Boise State's had the better team.
They have.
There were a lot of those years. I don't know that you could say that, could you?
No. Oh, no. And it's funny how, and this is kind of the story of two pro, it's really funny how Boise State basically has adjusted to the Mountain West Conference. And they've adjusted to it. They've won 20 games every year. They're playing very well. Utah State just hasn't moved up. Their program, they're in last place, and what are they? 0-2 and
yep.
6-7 overall. It's amazing.
I think the conference talent wise is pretty even this year. Watching the games that have led up to things.
Yeah.
I think New Mexico is going to be good. And they've started out 2-0. San Diego State's only played one. They had the bye the first weekend. The midweek they had the bye. But they lost a tough one at home. Blew an 11-point first-half lead over New Mexico.
Yeah, and I watched the Nevada-Fresno State game. And it was on after our game. And I got home, turned that on. And I thought Nevada was going to win all the way. Mm-hmm. And then they, at the end, they just stopped scoring, and Fresno State put the pressure on them and won. So I thought Nevada would be the best team in the league, but they have not proven out to be.
It's early.
Yeah,
and this week we'll know a lot. Go to UNLV tomorrow night, 8:30 airtime, and then San Diego State at home, 8:30 airtime, 9 o'clock tip for a late game at Taco Bell Arena. You win those two, you're 4-0, and all of a sudden you're among the teams that's going to be vying for a championship. But I think every week, every day out, it's going to be a tussle in the conference because I don't think anybody is that much better than anybody else.
I agree. And I thought getting a road win was so important for BSU. It's 8:43. We'll be back with Coach.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. KBOI News Time. 8:45, and Coach, Did he really eat a book of matches? Come on.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
So. Lit. Come on.
I don't know. Coaches do a lot of wild things sometimes to fire their team up. But
they probably told him to eat light, and that's the first thing he did.
I wanted to see a video of that, but nobody.
I'm surprised that somebody with the day and age of phones didn't record that. But whether he did eat a book of matches, whether it was lit, who knows. Chandler Hutchison was hot at the right time, getting a tying basket, and then Colorado State hit a big shot, and then Boise State won it at the end. Coach Rice talked about the 74-73 win over Colorado State with Abe Jackson and I on the postgame.
Can't make free throws, but we can make a banked in three to win it, huh? No question. Absolutely, man. But that's the sign of a good team, because you're not going to play, you know, 30 really, really good games. You're going to play some games where the ball just won't drop and funny things happen to you and weird things happen. Like you said, you know, you got to face some adversity, and you find a way to win on those nights, then you got a special team, and that's what it was tonight. We found a way to win on a night like that when we couldn't even make a free throw.
You've been doing this a long time, assistant coach and head coach here for 7 years. Have you seen a player that has stepped up their game and their responsibility to a team more than Chandler Hutchison has from 1 year to the next?
Well, I can't even think of anyone that's close. Mm-hmm. For him to fill the vacuum and the void that was left by James leaving early, and to do it with such consistency. I mean, you know, he wasn't playing great, and he ends up with 20 and 11, and you know, just finds ways and just helps this team. I mean, I thought he got fouled on those last two things too. I mean, that were, you know, those were big plays that he makes the steal and he makes the what should have been maybe an and one. I mean, he's the things he's doing for this team are amazing, and you know, it's not just on the court. He's become a great leader, and you know, he's shown the guys how to work hard, and how it pays off when you do work hard.
All right, he made the steal to tie the game. They get an incredible shot.
Yeah.
With the shot clock running down, you had
center.
Good defense. We kind of maybe there was a travel, but whatever.
Yeah.
4.1 seconds left. So what's the call? What are you trying to do with 4.1 seconds left?
Well, that's a play that we worked on, and Chandler's got the, you know, he's got the route to the basket, and, you know, we clear the right hand for him, you know, to get him on his right hand, but you know, we were going to smash in with the screen for Nick to see if we could maybe get him coming off screen. But with that much time, we knew Chandler wasn't going to have a ton of time to take a lot of different looks. And, you know, I told him in the huddle, I said, the great thing is we're going to make a three right now and run off with the win. And we did.
And we did. And the rest is history. It's 8:47. We'll be back with Chandler Hutchison. All right. Boise State junior Chandler Hutchison, of course, who we're going to talk with, named Mountain West Player of the Week, and averaged 20.5 points, 8.5 rebounds in Broncos' two wins. Pretty solid.
He had 20 points, 11 rebounds, made 8 of 13 shots against Colorado State, including the game winner, in which we asked him to talk about what he saw in that last play to win the game for the Broncos.
We draw that play up, and we run it at the end of the practice. You know, it's called special situations, and the look is to, you know, I get the ball full court and run down. And normally when there's more time, normally close to 6 or 7 seconds, it's to go try to get fouled, to go get a layup, you know, whether it's tied or to win the game. But on this specific play, there was a back screen that was going to be set for Nick to flare up and shoot the three and win the game. And I think you can see, I cross over and look at him, and he's covered, and he tells me, shoot it. And, you know, I just picked up the ball, shot it, and honestly, I couldn't tell whether it was good or not, but when it hit, you know, I really just didn't believe it.
9-4 on the season overall, 2-0 now in the league. It looks like this team, at least to me, has come together faster than I would have thought. Have you guys come together faster than you guys would have thought?
Well, you look at our schedule, and we had a couple of tough losses that we thought should have gone our way. We were leading the majority of the Oregon game, which was, you know, a big would have been a big opportunity, a big win for us. And, you know, it was easy to put our head, or it was hard not to put our heads down after that game and to get revamped. But even that Evansville game, we believed we were right there and should have won. So, you know, I think that it's just perfect timing with how everything's gone. We've just stuck with the process, and just the coaches just keep telling us to believe that we're the best team in the Mountain West, and we've just, you know, gotten on their backs, and they've carried us throughout this and believing in ourselves.
Yeah, and, you know, that shows they're a pretty confident group. And the thing I like about them is everybody shoots. Chandler does disappear for great portions of time which actually works for him because they kind of forget about him guarding the perimeter, and then he cuts loose. It was early in the Utah State game and late against Colorado State.
Well, he's picked up a couple of first-half fouls on a number of occasions that has caused him to take a seat next to Coach Rice for stretches of the first half. Boise State has settled into a rotation much faster. He talked about the, you know, close losses that he thinks has sharpened the team. I think the Oregon loss is going to be similar to the Michigan State loss a couple of years ago. I think the SMU win, while maybe not quite as impressive as going to Creighton, but they haven't lost since, and they've pounded people. I think the SMU loss is going to be like the Creighton win. The SMU win is going to be like the Creighton win of a couple years ago. So, again, this team's got a little bit of everything. They play really good team defense, which is better than I think in the past couple of years that they've had. Again, much better. This team's very exciting. Big game at home Saturday night, 9 o'clock against San Diego State. Go to UNLV in the interim on Wednesday night against UNLV. We'll know a lot more about this team after this week.
Yeah, and it's going to be that way every week long. And as you said, how many games in conference? 18?
18.
Six losses wins it?
I don't think that many will win it. Last year, San Diego State won with two. I'm thinking four might get it done this year.
Really? You think anybody's only going to lose four?
Well,
I tell you what.
I know what you're saying, yeah. And I would be tempted to go with five or six, but usually somebody emerges.
Somebody will get hot.
And that's why I think maybe four is the number. Haven't quite looked at who people play only once. Boise State only plays UNLV on the road. They don't come here. San Diego State comes here Saturday night. They don't make the return trip to San Diego. So although Boise State's won the last 2 years down there, you'd think that might be favorable. Well, it might be favorable for either one of those teams not to have to see the other one twice.
Yeah, one of the keys, I think, on Saturday night will be whether or not Malik Pope plays. He hasn't played the last two games, and he's missed how many games they played? They played 12. He's missed five.
So he's missed again, almost half. Like anything, game. You get the wrong people hurt at the wrong time. It makes things difficult.
And he's a matchup problem.
He is a matchup problem. And he's also a returning starter that's played very, very well. So, yeah, if he can't play that week in San Diego State, I think New Mexico is going to be there in the end. I think Boise State's going to be there. I think San Diego State's going to be there. And I think maybe Nevada, but I don't know, maybe Fresno's better than we think. But I don't think so.
Nevada just stopped scoring. It was unbelievable in the Fresno State-Nevada game. And to their credit, Fresno kept playing and won the ball game.
Home teams have done very well. Yes. I think the home teams have only lost a couple. Boise State won on the road. New Mexico won on the road. And I think that's it. I think just through the first two rounds of Mountain West play, the visiting team has only won twice.
It's going to be one of those kinds of years.
And I think Boise State's gotten more out of the center position than I thought they would. And then the thing that's been interesting is they've used Wacker, they've used George, and they've used Haney. And each game, at least one of them has come to play and play well.
Haney had a good stretch against Colorado State. But I think Wacker's going to end up being the guy, and he just needs to be tougher.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, he shows flashes where he'll slam it down or get a block or tip in one at the end of the halftime like he did. I think he's just coming around a little slower than we thought he would.
It's been fun so far. 9-4, five wins in a row. Let's see what they do tomorrow night in Vegas. Coach's Show, first one of the year at the Stonehouse, which is next to the Ram. That'll be Thursday night right here at 6 o'clock. Public invited.
I like it. And that'll be at 6 p.m., so you can go have dinner, watch Coach, watch the players, and watch Bob do his magic. That'll be good.
You had me.
Hopefully we win against UNLV. Shows are much more fun after a win.
Oh, no question. All right, two big games this week, so
8:30 airtime for both of them. Late starts.
9 o'clock Saturday. I'll be wearing my pajamas. And, of course, 9 o'clock because you're in the Pacific time zone tomorrow. All right, KBOI news time is 8:56. That's a look at Bronco Monday on Tuesday. Tomorrow, Bronco Tuesday will not be heard because it's Wednesday. And as you try to figure that out, we'll say Idaho Talks Live. First one of the new year coming up after a news break at the top of the hour. Republicans moving in, Democrats moving out.
And the Republicans are making some interesting decisions already, and Trump isn't even that happy about it.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Feel like I'm in an outtake from, you know, bad teen movie. 907, Paul J. and Chris. First show of 2017. And USA Today has put out five tips for surviving 2017. Do you have a tip?
Just right off the top of my head?
Yeah.
Try not to die.
Oddly enough, that's one of the
tips. Oh, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. My
it's
tip.
Like people who say, you know, they want to achieve immortality through their work.
Yeah.
I would just like to do it by not dying.
Yeah. I read that there was a big thing on, I think it was in one of the newspapers over the weekend about living forever.
Mm-hmm.
Think that over before you make that a wish. Because everybody you love and all that stuff, they all die. They all get old and die. Your kids get old and die.
Unless they can do whatever you did.
Yeah. And nobody really knows what you'll look like. My tip for surviving 2017, relax.
That's not bad.
Relax.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
2016 was sort of
be nice to each other.
Sort of a tense year.
Calm down.
Especially whenever somebody brought up, you know, politics or something.
Yeah. Well, it's everything. It's traffic. It's driving. It's road rage. I got cut off going to the airport. A guy crossed a solid line, missed me by inches. I was getting off of the freeway on a two-lane thing, and he swerved in front of me, mm-hmm. and then in front of a car in another lane, and then turned right as I was turning left to go into the airport. Absolutely incredible.
And yet not unusual.
No. But he came so close to hit me, and I told Tam, I said, last year, I'd have probably chased him down, got shot between the eyes. But this year, I mean, it's only a matter of time till that idiot hits somebody and rolls a car. But he could kill somebody.
We were driving back.
4C license plate.
To Boise from Twin Falls yesterday. We went down there for the weekend. And Debbie, at some point, she was doing exactly the speed limit. The roads were good yesterday.
Yeah. Anybody who drove south.
Yeah. The roads
I saw the thing Tom Scott
good.
Did said, and Roy and Al went down to Jackpot, and they said there's no snow down there.
Yeah. The roads were good, but we were driving back, and we were basically in a long line of cars that were all doing about the same speed.
Yeah.
And so we were in the lead, and we approached this car that's in the right lane that isn't going very fast. And so she looks behind her and everything and signals and pulls out to pass.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so she pulls out to pass, and as she's going past the other car, the guy that was behind us pulls out to pass also and starts flashing his lights at us. Like, get out of the way. Here I come. And yeah. And she started to get mad, and I said, just ignore it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, and that anger 5 minutes.
But yeah, some maybe. People. Maybe 5 minutes.
Okay, 1 minute maybe. The real anger lasted like a minute. And then, but some people can't let it go.
Yeah, well,
they hold on to it.
And like I said, Debbie was, she was better in about 5 minutes, like said.
Yeah.
But the first thing she wanted to know is why, when I just pulled out to pass, you know, and this guy followed me, why is he already, you know, blinking his lights at me or flashing his lights at me?
He knows I'm going to get around this car.
Yeah, does he think I'm not going to get back in the right lane at any given time?
Yeah.
Or did he think I just pulled out to be even with this car and go? And I told her, I said, well, you know, and the old me driving also.
Yeah.
If I'd have done that and somebody would have flashed their lights like, get out of the way, I don't think I'd have ever left that lane.
And you might have slowed down.
Might have.
To match the speed of the car on your inside.
Yeah, see, you've known me a while.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't do that anymore.
No, because you're going to get shot. That's the thing. Relax. You know,
I don't take it personally anymore.
Don't take a gun when you drive to work because you might have to shoot somebody.
Yeah, it's not personal.
Stop it.
It's not personal. It's just traffic.
Yeah. Around this time, we all, every year, we all complain about how the year before was the worst we've ever endured. Mm-hmm. Would you say that about 2016?
No, I would not.
Me neither.
Personally, I was mostly fine the entire year.
2016 was okay.
Yeah.
While 2017 may seem bright and shiny, chances are it'll soon head downhill, as all of its predecessors have done. This is USA Today with this rather acerbic look at the coming year. If you're already worrying about how you can survive, don't worry, you're not alone. On Twitter, this is where they got these five things. Many are offering their advice on how to get through the year with these 2017 survival tips.
Okay, can't wait.
Number one, nap. Repeat.
Oh, okay.
David Hilsenrath, lots of naps.
You know very well, I've got that down.
Yeah. Well, anybody who works your hours has got that
down. I don't sleep 8 hours at night. I sleep about four, but then I have a nice long nap in the afternoon.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Number two, be close to the ones you love. And I think that is so important. Natalie was here for 10 days over Christmas. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Having her back in the house. Be close to those you love. Listen to all the great new music. Have water. Don't let the bad people win.
Can I listen
to
the...
That is so important.
Can I listen to the great old music if I prefer that?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
I can pretend it's new.
Don't let the bad people win.
As I sing along with it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Number three, take risks. Travel more. Bond with nature.
Okay, those things are fine.
Be kind to animals.
But when you say how to survive, take risks. That just sounds like it almost sounds like opposite advice, doesn't
it? Well, taking risks, I think, means here, get off the couch.
Yeah. In other words, don't be stupid, but just get out and be part of life.
Yeah.
Life. Be be in it.
Yeah. Live it. Yeah. Don't let other people live it for you.
Right.
Travel more. Bond with nature. Be kind to animals. Okay. You're starting to lose me here.
Okay.
Stand atop a cliff, perched on the edge. Nuh-uh.
Well, you could do that just right up from your house.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not going to.
Just go up to Table Rock and stand there for a couple of minutes.
Well, I'll stand there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
gaze the stars and take risks. Okay.
That's a cliff where you could fall off and probably still be okay.
Yeah, I might break a leg.
Well, yeah. But you'd probably roll down the hill as opposed to fall 400 feet and then smash on some rocks.
Exactly.
Which is painful.
Explode. Number four, avoid...
Just briefly painful, but still painful.
Number four... Avoid ranting and raving on social media. Keep your emotions and feelings off the internet.
I was talking about that the other day with my parents. My mom is on Facebook. My dad isn't, but you know he enjoys the internet and stuff, but he just doesn't want to. Well, I mean, he's on Facebook now, but he doesn't get on there as often as my mom. Let's put it that way. So he's got a Facebook account. But we were talking about, you know, there are plenty of people who have a thought and then they immediately put it on Twitter or Facebook. And quite often it's a thought that had they waited 5 minutes, they wouldn't have wanted to share that with anybody. But instead, I'm mad now, you know, so I'm going to write this.
Yeah. My mom's advice. Yeah. Okay, go ahead and write that letter, but don't mail it till tomorrow.
I like that. Yeah. Don't mail it till tomorrow morning.
Read it in the morning and you go, whoa. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
It might even be good advice to say, wait until the morning and write the letter if you still feel that way.
I follow this woman on the internet named Jessie Jane Duff. She's a former Marine, and she has gotten angry.
Yeah.
Angry. And she's conservative, has conservative point of view, and, you know, is a Trump supporter and all of that.
What's she angry about?
I don't know. They won. I don't get it. But anyway, she's gotten very angry, and I'm on the verge of dropping her, except I like some of the stuff she puts, but I got no time to read anger all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially when you won. All right. And number five, and this is really good.
Okay.
When all else fails, keep it simple.
I like that. Yes, keep it simple, stupid.
And underneath, mind your own business, save money. Don't die.
This all sounds like sage advice that we could have gotten at any time during our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of this
probably
is
from mom or dad.
Exactly. None of this is new.
Nope.
Like, you know, don't do anything stupid. Okay.
Yeah. If everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you jump up? Oh, maybe I wouldn't. KBOI News Time, 9:16. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:22. You have a letter?
I do.
A comment? I have a from disgruntled vet.
An instant message.
And he's not a veterinarian either, I don't think. I think he's a former serviceman.
Yeah, you get that feeling. Yeah. From the disgruntled vet, he says, apparently no one's resolution was to drive better. That one I could get behind. And I would suggest if you see someone not driving well, do stay quite a ways behind them.
Yeah, and that's always a tough one.
Yeah.
The driving thing.
Unless they're changing lanes into your car.
KBOI rewards code is, what is it?
Survive.
Survive.
Yeah.
S-U-R-V-I-V-E.
I know.
S-U-R-V-I-V-E.
It's that thing Survivor. They do on that show, Survivor.
Survivor.
Right, yeah.
That's with an O.
They survive.
R. All right, let's go to Jim of Nampa. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
So I learned something over the weekend I thought you guys would get a kick out of and might want to research.
But, all right.
I was talking to my dad back in Indiana, and there was a news segment that came on back there about class action lawsuits being levied against Honda and Toyota so far. Just those two that I know of. And I started doing a little research.
Oh, this is the airbag thing?
No. This is way worse than the airbag thing.
Okay.
So in the effort to try to go green, apparently for last several years at least, I'm not sure exactly when it started, but a lot of the car manufacturers have decided to start making products that go into the car, parts that go into the car out of basically like plant-based materials like soy.
Oh, soy, yes. Okay, I've heard of this too. Yeah, you're right. That was about 2 weeks ago I heard about it.
Yeah, and so what's happening is they're making, like, the insulation that goes on the wires for the wire harnesses out of a soy-based product.
I know what's going to happen here.
And so these people are finding they come out to start their car and realize that nothing's working right and it doesn't start and there's lights on everywhere and come to find out that their car is being annihilated by mice and rats. And
yeah, because they're eating the soy, right?
Exactly. I mean, they're eating parts of the car. So, I mean, some of it gets really nasty because some of the parts are like evap hoses for your fuel tank and, you know, maybe even some plastic fuel lines that are a composite. And so there's been a bunch of a rash of issues with people. But the one that was the focus in the segment was a guy that had a new Toyota truck that only had 14,000 miles on it, and he's paid over $3,000 in repairs on it because all of his wires are getting just annihilated by mice and rodents, and it isn't the normal chewing that they do when they just happen to set up house in there.
Sure.
This is a food source, so they're just devouring huge sections of the wiring in the cars. And
you can hear that.
When
can't
I heard
you?
About it, because I'm a self-employed mechanic, and so when I heard about it from my dad, I was like, oh my god, this is like potentially majorly catastrophic, and I don't know how a company could survive something like that. I mean, if they had a recall, because they said it affects millions of cars already on the road that are using these products.
Can you hear the phone call, though? You, boss, I won't be in today. A rat ate my car.
Exactly. I mean, one video I saw on YouTube, and I couldn't find it again. I was trying to find it, and I swear there was a brand-new truck sitting on the showroom floor inside the building, and the guy lifts the hood up, and there's a bunch of chewed stuff, and you see a rat that's like, I mean, 12 inches long, big rat, walking towards the back of the engine to get away from it, but not fast, meandering down to hide. And I'm like, dude, you can't even sell the car before it gets eaten. I mean, to me, it's like when you start making parts out of food, I don't know where people's heads are.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. Well, that's funny, but it's not. I just bought a Honda. KBOI News Time, 9:26. All right, we are back. Paul, Jane, Chris, if you haven't been near any kind of video today, the video of that dresser turning over on the twin boys, 2 years old.
Yeah.
And one of the boys was pinned underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And his twin brother, who's two, gets this couch off. He goes around, checks it out.
Exactly. And he kind of tries to figure out, and he figures out that he can't lift it. So finally he pushes it until his brother can get out.
Absolutely incredible.
That's pretty good thinking for a two-year-old.
For a two-year-old, yeah. So check that out if you're looking for something today.
Exactly.
All right. Ford Motor Company, talking about cars this morning. They're canceling plans to build a new plant in Mexico.
Some things I don't understand. I'm going to go ahead and say good, because that sounds like it's a positive thing for the United States.
Ford is going to invest $700 million in Michigan instead, creating 700 new U.S. jobs. Now, Ford CEO Mark Fields said the investment is a vote of confidence in the pro-business environment President-elect Donald Trump is creating. However, he stressed Ford did not do any sort of special deal with Trump. We didn't cut a deal with Trump. Oh. We did it for our business.
Unlike the factory in Indiana.
Yeah, he told CNN's Poppy Harlow. The $700 million investment will go to Flat Rock, Michigan, to produce more electric and self-driving cars. Ford believes electric vehicles will outsell gasoline-powered vehicles in the next next 15 years.
How long have electric vehicles been on the market?
30 years? 25?
It's been a number of years, and currently they represent 1% of the cars out there on the road.
Yeah, here's the deal. I like to drive. I like to drive to Arizona because I like to drive.
Okay.
With an electric car, what's the range of an electric? I think I would have to stop in Burley, charge it up, Salt Lake.
Yeah, very possibly.
Charge it up, Cedar City, charge it up.
So is it like 150 miles? Is that the range?
I think it's like 300.
Oh, okay.
Las Vegas, charge it up, and then maybe I make it to Phoenix. I mean, and it takes, what, 8 hours to charge them up?
I'm not sure.
Half those stops, even if I can make Salt Lake and charge it up, I have to charge it up for 8 hours in Salt Lake. I usually drive from Boise to somewhere around Cedar City.
Right. I don't know that much about electric cars. The things that I have been told are that the batteries are very expensive to replace.
$3,000.
Very hard to dispose of.
Yep.
And a lot of people just... They don't get the same thrill of driving as they do with...
Because they're not fast?
Well, maybe. Maybe that's it.
They don't have the pickup, whatever?
I'm not sure.
But anyway, I'm not even remotely interested.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I would be remotely interested in an electric car is if I didn't leave the city. I mean, if I drove it to work and back home, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Never drove it more than 50 miles a day.
It would be solid, reliable transportation.
It'd be like having a golf cart.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. So anyway, when I first saw this, it said Ford cancels plans for $1.6 billion plant in Mexico. And now they're saying they're going to, apparently because the plant's already here, spend $700 million.
Well, that is
now. That's a savings of $900 million by not going to Mexico. Why the hell would you go to Mexico? How long is it going to take you to get $900 million back?
Probably at least a month's payroll.
Maybe. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Ford is planning to roll out 7 new electric vehicles in the next 5 years, including a Mustang Hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen ads for that. I
kind of think that completely erases the point of having a Mustang. But maybe that's just me.
No, it's not just you, because I agree 100%. The reason is the major U-turn for Ford. Last year, the company announced it would invest $1.6 billion in Mexico to transfer the production of the Ford Focus from Michigan to Mexico to save costs. Now the Focus will be built in an existing plant in Hermosillo, Mexico, and Ford will expand its plant in Flat Rock. So,
That clears up some of it. They are still moving some operations to Mexico.
So, Trump repeatedly...
Of which I'm guessing a lot of Americans are not in favor.
Yeah. President-elect Trump repeatedly slammed Ford on the campaign trail, claiming the company was moving good manufacturing jobs to Mexico and vowed to slap a 35% tariff on Ford vehicles made in Mexico and sold in the U.S. Ford fought back against Trump's rhetoric, saying he had his facts wrong and that the company never planned to cut U.S. jobs. Ford currently employs 85,000 Americans, up 28,000 or nearly 50% in just the last 5 years. In Mexico, Ford employs 8,800. So
that's a pretty good stat.
Yeah, it's a good stat.
But it's almost the opposite of what we've been told.
Exactly.
Wilbur from Boise County wrote to say, gentlemen, that last caller with the report on so-called eco-friendly, although somewhat unreliable, automotive components struck a nerve with me due to the ever-increasing news of recalls after recalls. I feel better about keeping my older but infinitely more reliable cars and trucks, which I can actually perform the majority of maintenance and repairs by myself. The vehicles are 22, 28, 55, and 88 years old.
I was going to say, they have to be before all the computers, because you can't fix them now.
And I think that qualifies. So it was, I guess it's a 95, and must be an 89, and then, 55 was a 62, and 88 was a while back.
I had a friend, Kenny, when I was in high school.
At 29, I guess.
And Kenny had this truck that he could take the damn thing apart and put it back together. And I'm sure he became a major mechanic somewhere because, you know, we all drove ratty old cars when you're in high school.
Well, it's what they used to call jalopies.
Yeah. And if something went wrong with your car, Kenny would fix it for $30.
Oh, yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Well, I think when you were a teenage boy, one of the fun things about even having a car is that all your friends came over and worked on it.
Yeah. Kenny lit himself on fire once.
So he might not have become the world's greatest mechanic.
One of the cars was leaking gas.
Yeah.
So he flipped open his Zippo lighter and lit it to see where the gas was coming
from. Are you serious? He seriously did that?
He did. Kenny had to buy a new car.
Are you sure he's still alive?
Well, he doesn't have that car.
Because if you do that once,
How could this guy do this when he can take a car apart?
Yeah.
Kenny, gasoline's flammable. Yeah.
Do you understand how it works?
Yeah. 9:45.
It doesn't burn, it explodes.
Exactly. So, members and staffers who have been under investigation.
Yeah.
Have all complained about their due process rights being violated and compromised.
Now, to be fair, this was a closed-door session, and it was just Republicans that got
together.
Only
Republicans, right.
And it still has to be voted on, but it sounds like it's going to pass easily.
Yeah, the majority is all with the Republicans.
And I guess
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, what I'd really like to know is does this weaken the ethics investigation, or was it not necessary in the first place? We'll find out.
I'm saying yes to the second part. KBOI News Time, 9:55. We will be back tomorrow with more Idaho Talks Live.